The goal is, how do we be the most helpful? And that's really been kind of our North Star through all this.
What stood out to us during all this time is just how independent retailers have had to just completely rethink the way they do business.
I think there will be some semblance of these trends. Who knows what it'll exactly look like, but I definitely think it's going to be a core part of every retailer's business strategy going forward.
What happens when you get three guys together who love talking about data, e-commerce, and retail, and try to have a podcast with them? Well, that's exactly what I had to figure out and try to navigate as the host of the Independent Thinking Podcast. While I hosted our own Dev Mukherjee, our president of digital business services and technology here at Nationwide, for his second appearance on the podcast. And then joining us was Patrick Tam, the strategic partner manager for Google. As we dove into a lot of awesome topics, you know, obviously we have a relationship here at Nationwide with Google as one of their premier partners, and had an opportunity to talk with Patrick. We wanted to get him on to see, you know, Google, obviously a big company in the e-commerce space and search space, and has a lot of insights into, you know, the shifting habits of consumer shoppers and what they're doing online, how they're searching for product, and how that's impacting retail and the retail journey. So, you know, we had an awesome conversation just about what Patrick's seeing on the search side, how consumers are changing their habits, and then also, too, how retailers are adapting. You know, and then obviously talking to Dev about, you know, what we're seeing internally here at Nationwide, and all around just a really great conversation, one that had a lot of insights that I think, you know, retailers can pick up on as they look to continue to adapt moving forward as we navigate these uncertain times through COVID and you know, what retail looks like on the other side. You know, will these levels of e-commerce shopping stick around? Will they kind of level out? We get into all that and more with Patrick and Dev, and you know, just a conversation I've been looking forward to having for some time and now excited to share with you. So let's go ahead and dive into this conversation. Our Independent Thinking Podcast with Patrick Tam of Google and Dev Mukherjee of Nationwide. All right, we're back on the Independent Thinking Podcast and diving into an awesome conversation, one that's been on our calendars for a while, and I'm glad we're finally getting to do it. And I know I have a challenge in front of me. You know, I told you guys ahead of time, I like to stick to a certain time. I know that's not going to happen today, but, you know, we'll see what we can do, especially when I have Mr. Dev Mukherjee returning to the podcast, our first return, you know, interviewee. So, Dev, first of all, thanks for, I guess, convincing me to allow you to come back on the podcast. It's number one. But, so, Dev Mukherjee.
The edible arrangement is in the mail.
Well, thank you. So, Dev, as those who know Nationwide, our president of digital and technology for Nationwide, and joining us for this conversation, Mr. Patrick Tam, a strategic partner manager for Google. Patrick, appreciate you agreeing to do this despite all, you know, what you're up against today.
So. You know, I've been looking forward to the challenge, and Rob and Dev, just a pleasure being with you guys today.
It's awesome. So I'm going to start with you, Patrick. You know, we're in an interesting time right now, you know, with COVID going on and everything that we've seen on the independent retail side. But I just kind of want to quickly get your thought on, you know, from your perspective, how this, you know, these past few months have impacted you and in your role and kind of what you do on a day to day.
Yeah. It's definitely made for an interesting time. And you know, I think like the rest of us here at Google, we didn't really have a playbook for kind of navigating any of this. So it's really just been all hands on deck and everyone just trying to be as helpful as possible. You know, testing things, getting data and kind of adjusting from there. So we're also trying to figure things out as we go along, but you know, the goal at the end of the day is how do we be the most helpful? And that's really been kind of our North Star through all this.
I think we can relate. Dev and I would agree, you know, just trying to figure out how we can be helpful from the Nationwide side to, you know, the independent retailers out there. And Dev, you know, to you, I know, you know, kind of what stood out to, I think you'd agree, what stood out to us during all this time is just how independent retailers have had to just completely rethink the way they do business, you know, in the face of a pandemic and adjusting business models, closing stores in some cases, you know, shifting, you know, the way they do business and interact with their customers. So I was just, you know, wondering for you, as far as an update on what you've seen for members and kind of what they've been doing during this time.
Sure, Rob. Happy to answer that. I should start by saying thank you to Patrick and team. It's a long time ago now, but the middle of March, the Google team was incredibly helpful to us as we started to see what was happening. They were very quick to give us ideas around how to help our members communicate to their customers around what was going on and what steps they were taking. And the content our members were able to use around steps they were taking to keep everybody safe and what things they were going to do in order to communicate when the store was open and curbside pickup. Many of those ideas came from Patrick's team at Google. And, you know, as we all saw, there are literally hundreds of our members took that content to communicate with the world at large. This is what's happening. These are the steps that we're taking. Having those ideas, even though, you know, none of us had a playbook, having those ideas early on is really the hallmark of our relationship with Google. They see such a broad swath of what's happening around the world to be able to say, here are some things quickly that you need to focus on has been incredibly helpful. But to answer your question, I looking back over the last few months, I have to say I'm incredibly proud of what our members have done and what our team at Nationwide has done. It may have been a couple of years ago, Rob, you know, you and I were talking about what people were calling the retail apocalypse and Amazon. I don't want to belittle how terrible this has been for so many people and how challenging it is today. But the adaptability that we've seen from our membership has really been incredible. And in many ways, we have been ahead of what the national chains have been able to do in being responsive to local communities and to the market as large. And I know people who are on the audio version of this are not going to be able to see it, but you know, as you can see from the slide here, the growth rate in just the traffic for our overall network has been kind of astounding. We were already on quite a tear over the last couple of years, but very quickly, we saw more than double the traffic coming to the total set of Nationwide member websites. Our CEO, Sean Crane, asked me to try and put it into context, and I was really wrestling for a way to do that. And you know, what we realized is the traffic that we were looking at the beginning of March was actually greater than the total traffic for either CNN or MSNBC. I don't want to turn this into a political discussion about which channel we should be watching. But I mean, at one point, we literally hit a million visitors a day across all of our websites. And so my top line answer to you, Rob, is the adaptability of the channel, the adaptability of our members with support from many of our partners, not just Google, but Wells and Synchrony, and of course all of our manufacturer partners, really allowed us to stay ahead of the game. And many of our members actually showed record growth in certain categories because they were able to communicate with their customers, drive their websites and really enhance e-commerce and some of the other technologies I know we'll be talking about before the end of the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know, a lot of those things, obviously what you're talking about, at the onset of the pandemic, obviously were things that are digital related. Those services that, like you mentioned, adding chat, adding e-commerce capability to websites and clearly turning itself into increased traffic for members. And kind of a nice way to sort of turn it over to you, Patrick, does that translate to kind of what you guys were tracking on the Google side of things in terms of this boost in traffic for the independent retailer?
Yeah, absolutely. It tracks really closely, almost eerie, in fact. Hearing those numbers from Dev is really encouraging to see that this is translating not just to the largest retailers, but to everyone kind of within the spectrum. And That's really the main takeaway here is that there's just been a massive kind of shift in the retail industry, but it's also created opportunity. So I'll speak on that. So, based on our data, starting in March, we saw a dramatic shift to sales being done online. So e-commerce sales essentially tripled in volume compared to where they were in January. And in contrast, we saw in-store sales actually dropping by half as those shelter-in-place orders were put in place. And this shift to the retail industry has many implications, and I'm sure we'll talk through some of those as we go along. But I think the most important thing is that it's created a playing field that is vastly more open for retailers than ever before, because theoretically, a small retailer's digital storefront is potentially just as easy to find online and shop with as any other. And this enables, on the consumer side, many more options to consider when deciding who to do their business with. And for the retailers, it creates many more opportunities to win that business now that the playing field is, one, more open and more level. And we're seeing that kind of bear out as well with some of the data that we've been tracking internally. So there was a study done by, I think it was MIT Sloan, that said that that did a survey of consumers across the U.S. and the impact of COVID on their shopping habits. And 54% of them, over half, said that they had purchased from a business that was new to them during quarantine. And that it also bears out within our internal data as well. So looking at internal traffic data here at Google, we saw since March up through July, over 40% of all retail web visitors were brand new customers. So
wow.
It affirms the fact that the opportunity is, one, vast online, and also there's significant opportunity to grow your business as well as find new customers and to build loyalty with those customers in just a short time.
Yeah. And the great, I was going to ask this a little bit later on, but it's kind of a perfect timing to bring it up, is that even in some other studies, you mentioned the shopping levels. I know you kind of look back to what the holiday shopping season was like in 2019. And I think the average, according to a couple different studies, was like $70 billion was spent online during the holiday season. And if you look at April, May, June, the online spending that those same studies were seeing increased, was beyond those levels of holiday shop. So there was, You take Black Friday and the Christmas, the December holiday season, and you look at how that stacked up to the first 2 months of the lockdown. Lockdown beat the holiday. So the Q4 shopping season was, at one point a record, and now has been beat by COVID-19 shopping. So, crazy to think there's always been this trend of consumers are starting to spend more online, and we've been tracking it. And is this something that'll sustain this sort of high level of online shopping, or do you see it as something that it's because of COVID and, it'll sort of even out or balance out, I guess?
Yeah, it's hard to predict. It's hard to predict, but I do think that long term, going back to the point about 41% of all retail traffic was from new customers, I think the kind of expansion of access points for people who haven't traditionally shopped online and are kind of waking up to the kind of benefits of it, the ability to obviously have the convenience of not having to leave your house, to be able to comparison shop or kind of research while shopping. A lot of those benefits will continue to remain and have always been kind of intrinsic benefits of e-commerce. And who knows what that balance will be, in the hopefully near future when things start to get back to normal. But I think, the e-commerce was already a steadily growing portion of the retail industry as it is before the pandemic. And I think those benefits have just kind of accelerated their proliferation, if so to speak. So I think there will be some semblance of these trends. Who knows what it'll exactly look like, but I definitely think it's going to be a core part of every retailer's kind of business strategy going forward.
Gotcha. And you know, to that point, you know, I want to ask you too, you know, that type of upheaval and having to adjust, you know, retailers are going to have to adapt and respond to, you know, they have adapted and responded, but, you know, obviously going to have to continue to do so. So, I mean, what are you seeing from that regard as to how retailers have responded to this sustained period of, you know, having to adjust their business models?
Yeah, it's been really remarkable. And I think the data bears out from your side of the house as well. From Dev talking through the jump in website traffic and e-commerce transactions. I think the kind of nimbleness of the retail industry, specifically independent retailers, to really quickly pivot their businesses and adapt to these shifting kind of consumer needs and behaviors is really remarkable. And seeing folks embrace things like, you know, enabling curbside pickup or shifting to e-commerce and really digitizing your product catalog in a short time, I think it speaks a lot to the resilience of these retailers and the industry at large.
And you know, kind of drilling down even a little further, I know not long ago you spoke with our partners at Retailer Web Services in a similar format. You know, we're not going to get into who has the better podcast or anything like that. Video interview capabilities here, but no, I know you had an awesome conversation with them and shared some really cool data points. You know, I know, you know, talking to our appliance guys, they've been still trying to catch up with, you know, the increased popularity of products in the appliance category. And some of the numbers, I mean, I'm looking potentially for updates. I know, I think at the time you said, you know, freezers, searches for small appliances and freezers, stuff like that, up 50% compared to last year. And then even, you know, furniture and bedding, you know, they were seeing almost 25% increases. You know, I know, you know, states are starting to change kind of how they operate and what businesses are open, things like that. But, you know, how have those numbers sort of continued to track, you know, over the last couple of weeks and months?
Yeah, Rob. Well, when I spoke with the RWS team back in May, we were able to highlight that a lot of the kind of household related categories were in some cases doing better than expected. And, you know, in others, at least keeping pace with last year. But the encouraging thing is since then, we've actually seen a substantial acceleration in interest when we look at search volume on Google. So, and I'll walk through the numbers. So, across the US at the end of July, when we're looking at search volume and year-on-year growth for the number of search queries for that category, we're seeing acceleration across the board. So for appliances, for instance, high level at the beginning of April is when we were last kind of checking in. Search volume was growing at about 32% year-on-year in the US. As of the end of July, that's jumped to 44% year-on-year.
Wow.
Yeah. And within that, the top search term is refrigerator, and that's growing at 52% year-on-year. So it's really, really promising to see that as people spend more time at home, they're really kind of focusing their energy on kind of making improvements or you know, kind of getting themselves in a better position. So it's been really heartening to see. And as I was looking through the data this week, saw some other kind of interesting trends. So I'll share those with you guys. So in a surprise to no one who's been seeing all their friends become overnight baking experts on Instagram, the fastest growing product within the appliance category is bread makers. And those are growing at 80% year on year. So
So I don't know who's baking that bread. Last time I checked, when I was at a grocery store, yeast is unavailable anywhere you go. And so I don't know. They have all these bread makers now. They're probably just sitting on counters, unable to be used.
That's funny. Unleavened bread,
bro. Oh, that's crazy.
I'm more of a posse guy myself. Yes, and just kind of walking you quickly through some of the other categories. Home furniture, for instance, was as I mentioned, was really just keeping pace back when we last checked in here. Essentially flat. They're at about 4% year on year in terms of search volume growth in April. As of July, it's at 47%.
Wow.
47%. It's really remarkable. You know, couches are the top search term, unsurprisingly, at about 57% year on year. And so it's great to see that segment really jump back up. And then for bedding, we were at about 25%, as you mentioned, back in April, and that since jumped to 41%.
Wow.
So it's again, all of these are really encouraging signs that, the household related categories specifically are getting still generating a ton of interest and a lot of demand as well. So this is hopefully really heartening for our retailers out there who are listening.
So Patrick, you just made Tom Hickman incredibly happy, because all the way through this he's been predicting that people being forced to sleep in their own beds and sit on that couch. Rest of the family all the way through this will generate a kind of a burst in activity, and I think you've now proven that. So
it's kind of that trailing effect. People have been sitting at home searching online as it is, and now not only are they searching online, but they're doing it from these couches that they and dinner tables that they've spent, beds maybe even, that they've spent weeks on end sitting on, laying on, and finally deciding it's time to replace them. So it's kind of been talked about, I think, anecdotally, but to see numbers that actually back it up is really exciting, I think.
And it's you're right. It's a lot of those things. It's like you're at home, that dent in the couch is a little more noticeable and a little more obvious day by day, and all of a sudden you get a little stir crazy. I'm sure that's my part in it.
The quarantine 15 certainly doesn't help with that then either. It gets a little deeper. So there's that to consider. I want to turn it to both of you, because we're obviously talking about some of the cool trends and things that you've seen stick out during this time numbers wise. Is there anything that kind of, and this is again to both Patrick and Dev, any trends that caught you off guard, as you're looking through numbers, and not necessarily in a bad way caught you off guard, but maybe surprised you just about whether it's, consumer shopping trends that you've noticed, Patrick, or Dev, as it relates to kind of how our members are, working through this right now?
So I'll mention a couple of things. First, how our members are adapting, but secondly, Patrick and I both should probably talk a little bit about digital marketing, because that has been, definitely a little bit of a surprise. On the innovation side, a number of our members have been, leveraging chat functionality on their websites, as we've talked about before, a lot to be able to interact with consumers, particularly consumers on the go with cell phones. The amount of video chat that has, blossomed for both selling and for servicing has been, truly amazing. Our Nationwide member in Charlotte, Sweet Dreams, done an incredible job in, being able to show merchandise even in the heart of the pandemic. And as Patrick was touching on earlier, we shared data early on because we saw the spike in furniture and bedding, and a lot of it was being driven by our members being very innovative in how they present products to consumers, how they help consumers choose, and then how they managed, as Patrick was saying, different delivery options was really tremendous. On the advertising side, we were expecting that, you know, in many ways, you know, people would cut back on kind of advertising. But, you know, one of the things that Patrick's team and our teams, you know, spend a lot of time looking at is how much people are leveraging, you know, marketing to be able to talk about the fact that they're open, that they have all of these procedures in place, and that they have product, because there are definitely some shortages in the market, but also lots of other opportunities. And so that, you know, the merchant team at Nationwide is definitely trying to help with as well. But, you know, Patrick, I guess we've chatted before about, you know, how people are leveraging digital marketing in different ways. Is there anything that you've seen on the Google side that has stood out for you? Sorry, Rob, I'm not trying to take away your job here.
You're asking the questions now. This is what I was worried about.
Patrick and I have had, and our teams have been having this conversation, so I know that it's an area that they have been doing some work in. So I'm not trying to, you know, take away your time, Rob, I promise.
This is your first strike.
That was a seamless transition. I agree with everything you said, Dev, about a lot of the really kind of innovative things that have emerged out of this. I particularly like the kind of embracing of not just e-commerce in general, but also enhancing that e-commerce experience through things like chat or using video to demonstrate products. I think that's been really cool to see. Really cool to see how people have adapted to the kind of unique environment that an e-commerce shopping experience brings to help, you know, perhaps not replicate the kind of physical store or showroom experience, but to at least bring some of those kind of that essence to it. So one thing I think has been really important is how retailers embrace flexibility, because as you mentioned, Rob, if you go state by state, hell, city by city, there are different policies in place around what retailers can or can't do, and whether you can go in store or not. So there's this huge, really kind of dynamic market right now that retailers have to account for. So embracing that flexibility, kind of being nimble and providing different fulfillment options or purchase options is really encouraging to see. And, you know, it's something that I think will be an important principle to maintain going forward, as we mentioned earlier. So, you know, in the future, can we further embrace the concept of providing flexible fulfillment options, whether it be curbside pickup or perhaps order in store and deliver to home, the ability to kind of showroom products for really high consideration purchases like furniture or appliances. I think those will emerge as even more important kind of access points in the future. So that's really the core theme is embracing that flexibility.
Yeah, and to that point exactly, I think that term specifically, flexibility, is kind of one, you know, kind of bringing it full circle to Dev's point earlier about, you know, that retail apocalypse that a couple of years ago we were hearing so much about and, creating a lot of fear in the industry about. It's kind of been that flexibility that I think has allowed that to sort of, you know, people are still talking about it here or there, but definitely not to the level that it had been. So I'm wondering, you know, What is it that, is it just flexibility? Is there other things that independents are able to do to sort of coexist in this space where, you know, there what still is that kind of elephant in the room giant of the e-commerce industry, you know, that's out there that, you know, that they're still able to like have a successful retail business in this space?
I have to pick up that because you said the e-commerce industry, you know, we're part of that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, our e-commerce numbers as Patrick noted earlier, have gone through the roof, and you know all of the platforms, Site on Time and AWS, you know, fully enable kind of e-commerce. And so, you know, to your point, you know, I think the Darwin quote gets corrupted all the time, and it's, you know, it's survival of the fittest, and reality, it actually, forgive me while I put my professor hat on here for a sec, but the quote is that's the survival of the most adaptable. And the retailers who are our members, and actually our vendors, I should give a vendor example, the fact that we've adapted so quickly with everything going on, I think has been, you know, very powerful. To give you the vendor example, you know, one of the things that Patrick and his team have poked us on for probably the last couple of years is you need to get more and more of your members with kind of inventory and pricing online. And the reason for that, and Patrick can talk about this in a minute, this is something that consumers want. They want to know, you know, what can I get? When can I get it? How much is it going to cost? And so the vendor community has been, with everything that they've had to face, incredibly responsive in helping us get more and more inventory information online and pricing information online. And I'll let Patrick add to this, but we think about websites, but Google does a fantastic job of taking data from our websites and putting it in front. I mean, we provide feeds, they crawl, but you know, putting that information in front of the consumer as soon as Google notices that they're interested in a particular, you know, category. And so I'll let, you know, Patrick talk to that. But the fact that we're getting more and more data from not just members, but from, you know, vendors on pricing and local regional distribution center availability allows, you know, Google to take that data and, you know, put it in front of the consumer even before they go to one of our members' websites. You know, Patrick, I hope I didn't gonna mess that up too much. But
you're close to strike two, Dev. You're close to strike two.
Sorry. You know, I noticed when, you know, it's not often that I have the luxury of a, you know, Google expert, you know, on the call. So I suddenly noticed that I'm heading into Google territory. And I'm going, why am I talking about this? Well, you know, Patrick does it so much better, you know.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about better, but I'm happy to add on. So yeah, you nailed it though, Dev. One, we've in a short time been able to help retailers by launching a number of different tools, you know, digital toolkits, features within our platforms to really help themselves be more helpful, if that makes sense. And you know, what you mentioned there with the kind of audience targeting, being able to target people based on their kind of expressed interest in a product, or even just, you know, knowing that someone recently moved or recently had a baby, and being able to, you know, get the right product in front of that customer, but before they even search for your product is a really powerful tool that I think retailers are more and more embracing, to one, help them not just find the right customers, but potentially new customers, before those customers even realize they're in the market in some cases. So it's really encouraging to see. And I did want to highlight a handful of other tools that we're seeing really strong positive feedback from that might be helpful to the retailers who are listening here today. So there are a number of things that we've launched, including within Google My Business and Shopping Ads, the ability to highlight curbside pickup and free delivery options. If you offer those, highlighting those in your ads or your within Google Maps, your business listing. Retailers are also turning to tools like Google Trends, what we call the Shopping Insights tool, and rising retail categories to get a pulse of consumer demand and actually pivoting their business strategies, their marketing strategies, but also their merchandising strategy as well, to understand, okay, within this category, which products are really in the strongest demand, and how can I make sure that the valuable kind of floor space that I have, or the valuable kind of warehouse space that I have, is really kind of prioritized for those products that will, you know, hopefully move faster than others. So it's helping them kind of spend their money more expeditiously and wisely, and it's only going to help more as we mentioned, as the market continues to be dynamic. Another thing that I wanted to highlight is within Google Merchant Center, to your point, Dev, about the importance of getting your products online, really digitizing your catalog. Within Merchant Center, we offer a number of different kind of benefits when you do that. On top of enabling yourself to do e-commerce and shopping ads, we have things like the bestseller report that just launched this past spring, which looks at your inventory feed and shows you all of the best-selling products in the category and tells you whether you have those products in your catalog. So you can figure out, okay, hey, this this LG TV is selling like gangbusters across all of Google, but I don't have it in my inventory. I should prioritize that and potentially, you know, increase your marketing budget accordingly. So these are all really valuable tools that we're seeing retailers embrace more and more. And I think the more folks embrace that, the more data that they have at their hands, the better decisions they'll be able to make, given how kind of fluctuating this whole situation is.
Yeah. And I know, you know, obviously a lot of great tools there and, you know, that both of you had mentioned that independent retailers have been able to take advantage of. One thing I wanted to close on it. You know, we're getting to that point somehow already. I don't know. We did good here, Dev. But one thing I wanted to close on was looking at some of those opportunities that are available to independent retailers, you know, as they look forward, you know, obviously right now continuing to manage through this situation and, you know, the environment that they're in. But looking ahead to past that, beyond that, what are some of those things that retailers could turn to, you know, as they look to stay successful and viable?
Actually, I was going to pick up a thing that Patrick just said. We had the, I think it's the Furniture and Bedding Council and the team, I think Amanda and Scott took them through a lot of the Google Trends data. You know, Patrick, as you know, a lot of, you know, our role is to take some of the most sophisticated stuff that you give us and package it up in a way that the retailers can really leverage it. And the feedback I had from that team was that it was really, you know, A, Patrick exactly said, very useful and insightful, but also, you know, gave them ideas as to things that they might look at in the future. Kind of looking forward, I don't want to sound cliched, Rob, but I think there's a little bit of, you know, you've got to keep the faith. You know, we've had a lot of partners who, you know, continue to stick with us through all of this, you know, on both the manufacturer side, but even the partner side, you know, Wells and Synchrony helping us with kind of credit, you know, tools that we can put on the web, you know, SES and Pricer working with us on electronic shelf tags. You know, we haven't talked about it because of the store issue, but, you know, we recently rolled out our 10,000th, well, I guess we can say lit up our 10,000th yeah. electronic price tag through flash tags that runs across both RWS and Site on Time. And so, you know, understanding that there is a future that we need to head to, whichever way it pans out. And the things that Patrick and I and Rob, you've been, you know, talking about, you know, on this podcast are the things that have worked through these really difficult times and will continue to work going forward. And I couldn't be more proud to be part of both an organization, but also all of our membership and partners as well, for embracing all this stuff. And as we said earlier, you know, driving their own adaptability. Now is the time to really double down on all of that. You know, things are working well. Patrick said it very well with the data about how the search volume is going up. Now is the time to embrace this, to leverage it. As we've always said, Rob, you know, Nationwide is here to help our members be successful. We don't succeed if they don't succeed. And so if there's any of the things that we've touched on, if there's a member or a partner listening, they should get in touch with their MSM or call me or call any member of the team in order to make sure that they're on track to do everything that they can, because we've actually demonstrated, and I would include Google in this, you know, we have demonstrated by putting our heads together, putting these tools together, we have incredibly positive impact, even in what have been some of the most difficult both business economy and certainly retail times any of us have ever seen.
Yeah, Patrick, anything to add to that?
Yeah, that was very well said, Dev. Yeah, I concur. I think it's encouraging to see these trends that we've kind of talked through today. And what the takeaway is that these needs, these consumer needs, especially in these categories, intrinsically will never go away. People will always have a need to buy a new couch or will need a new refrigerator or want a new TV, whatever it may be. How they go about getting those things is what's changing dramatically. You know, it's been really heartening to see how retailers have begun embracing those shifting needs early on. And I think, you know, with any kind of dynamic environment like this, with so much uncertainty, we're still getting enough signals to tell us what the new normal will start to look like. And, you know, these investments that we're making now to really pivot our business to get your products online and create a really fantastic online shopping experience. These investments will pay off in due time, right in the immediate term, but also long term as well as things settle. So I encourage people to continue to embrace a lot of the kind of innovations that Dev has taught through today and some of the tools that I walked through today, and really set yourself up well for a future where purchase paths and access points are going to be incredibly flexible and dynamic, and you'll have business potentially coming from all channels. How do you set yourself up for success across the board there? And you can do that by investing now, and you'll be in a position to kind of succeed in the future.
Yeah, and there's one point you made there that I think is, I was thinking about it as you were talking, and then you said it, and it really sticks home, is that, you know, we've talked a lot about how adaptable and flexible this industry, the independent retailer, has been. You know, the key operative here is that they're willing to be adaptable too. You know, we've talked about a lot of numbers and data and tools that are available to them. And I know nationwide, we throw a lot of things at members, asking them, you know, offering insights and advice and access to these kinds of tools. And they've shown an ability to be flexible and adaptable, but not only an ability, but a willingness to do so, to adjust their business models and show that, you know, they're willing to do what it takes to survive. That adaptability, like you said, Darwin over here. Mr. Dev, Professor Dev. So it goes to show, you know, it's an industry of professionals that are willing to fight for their business, and it's inspiring every day. So, you know, I appreciate you guys taking some time to talk about it. And, you know, this is it's been a fun ride and, you know, chatting with both of you and kind of seeing, you know, how these numbers have trended. And I look forward, I know whether it's in a podcast or not, you know, down the road here, looking to see how they continue to trend. So thank you for sharing those numbers, and you know, I know we'll be in touch.
Thanks, Rob. Thanks, Patrick.
Thanks to you both for having me, and yeah, would love to do this again in the future and check in with even more astounding stats. So count me in.
It's awesome.
I'll be sending you that bread maker, Rob.
Sounds good. If there's some yeast in there with it, that would be even better. So.
All right. Take care of yourself, guys.
Awesome. And a huge thank you again to Dev and Patrick for both taking the time, you know, working this out and having just a really fun conversation. You know, we clearly had a lot of fun there, maybe a little too much fun at times, but no, we had a lot of topics to dive into. And certainly, you know, Google, Patrick had a lot of data to bring to the table, kind of what they've been seeing, and really encouraging stuff. So it was great to hear that, you know, from their point of view and from their data, they see that retailers are thriving during this time of COVID, despite, you know, the challenges that have been thrown the retailers' way. So, you know, look forward to continuing those conversations and seeing how members and independent dealers in general take advantage of the tools that are available to them there. So, as always, appreciate you taking the time listening to the Independent Thinking Podcast, and we will catch you next time.